Hello, friends and fellow lovers of all things beachy. Welcome to The Beach Speaks. I'm your host and beach lover, Paige Friend, sharing conversations and stories to help you reconnect with the beach, return to your soul, and reimagine your life. Whether they're an entrepreneur, a conscious creator, or just someone who loves the beach, all my guests have a story to tell about what makes the beach the place to be. So grab a cool drink, sit back in your beach chair, stick your toes in the sand, and enjoy this episode of The Beach Speaks. Hey, beach lover. I know. Ever since Hurricane Ian hit Florida a few weeks ago, I told you I would do an episode about what it's like to be in a hurricane at the beach, and I fully intend to do that soon. However, in the meantime, as I started collecting hurricane stories, I thought it might be interesting to hear from one of my fellow podcasters, Kevin Lowe, who lives just a few hours south of us near Daytona Beach. A few days after the hurricane, I reached out to see if everything was okay with him and where he was, and then I asked him if he'd like to hop on the show and tell us what it's like to experience a hurricane, especially when you're completely blind. And you might be surprised at his answer. And I do go a little off course in the middle of our conversation to talk about bioluminescent kayaking. I don't know, we were talking about light and electricity and, well, I was inspired. Here we go. Hey, Kevin. Welcome back to the podcast.
Well, thank you so much. I'm excited to be back.
Yeah, I was thinking about you. I saw that you have a new podcast coming out, and I thought, oh, I need to get Kevin on to talk about that. And that was right about the time that we had a hurricane coming through. And I thought, well, let's talk about that too. So thanks for coming on and sharing your experience. So we'll just get right down to it. Like I ask all my guests, how is the beach speaking to you today?
The beach is speaking nice and calm and with air conditioning and electricity and no hurricanes. So the beach is speaking well.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. A friend of mine was saying, I don't know what it's like to be in a hurricane, but I do know what it's like when the beach speaks. Sometimes it speaks really quiet and
yes.
And then other times it's really loud.
Yes, exactly.
And it was speaking loud. So How was it for you? Where were you? Were you down the Daytona area?
Yeah. So I'm in Ormond Beach, so just north of Daytona. And to be honest, you know, we were extremely fortunate with this hurricane. We had literally no damage. I mean, we had a wooden fence blew down, and we had flooding in our neighborhood and a lot of trees and debris. But I mean, when you put it in perspective of what other people, both over on the west coast of Florida, and then even people in Daytona and stuff with the flooding, I can't help but just be extremely just blessed and fortunate that we didn't have what so many people had to deal with. So,
yeah, we can kind of relate to that up here in the Jacksonville area. We just got a lot of wind and rain. I thought it would never end.
Yes.
And of course, they tell you, do not go out to the beach. And we have to, when you tell us that, then we have to go out there. So my husband and I threw on our raincoats and battled the wind and the rain and headed out to see what was going on in the beach. And it was like getting sandblasted. It would really hurt.
Yes. Yeah. It's crazy how that is. Yes.
Yeah. We didn't have any damage here either. In fact, and we didn't even lose power. We had a couple of blips here and there, just long enough for your computer to shut off and have to run, reboot. And those annoying kind of things, but I'll take that annoying instances any time of the day. I was curious to know, first of all, were you all by yourself or did you hunker down with your family? What do you normally do in situations like that?
Of course, yeah. So I was with family. And so we went over to my grandparents' house. And so we live literally about a mile away from my grandparents. But went over to their house. For one thing, they have a generator. And then also just be able to help them out and stuff if power did go off and need to start the generator. And I guess, too, I mean, you know, I live with my mom. And our townhouse we have is a wood frame townhouse. And so, you know, theirs is a block home, so you figure it'd be safer and better there anyways. And so, you know, the weather got pretty bad. I mean, I remember at one point in the night had a big boom on the ceiling, you know, on the roof, and it ended up being a big branch from a neighbor's tree had fell. But answer your question, that is where I spent was over with my mom and my grandparents and our little dog, Sophia. Where I just hunkered down over at their house.
Oh, that's nice that you can be with family, yes, and protect one another. Many of my listeners who haven't heard our first podcast together might not know that you are blind. Yes. However, you have a unique way of sensing things around you. Were you sensing the storm in any different kind of way than maybe we would have?
Oh, goodness. I don't know. I'm not going to give myself that kind of good credit. You know, it's really the same. You know, I guess, you know, just for me, you know, it's just you pay attention to the noises so much, which during a hurricane, it always seems like they typically get the worst. It seems like just out of, I don't know, just the way things work out, it seems like it's generally at nighttime when it hits really hard. And so it's kind of funny because my family and stuff, they kind of getting a picture of my life because you're hearing all the noises, you're hearing the wind, you're hearing the trees snapping and stuff, but it's dark so they can't see anything, you know? And so it's kind of like an opportunity to be like, hey, here's a little bit of Kevin's world, you know? But yeah, and pretty much me with a hurricane is just spent praying the whole time. God, take the roof, but don't take the power. I need the air conditioning. If you need to take the roof off, take the roof, but just leave the AC blowing, you know?
All right, yeah. We have our priorities
do. That's what I think it was, had saw on Facebook. It was going around, one of those funny little memes. And it was, it said, no, you guys got it wrong. Us in Florida, we're not scared of hurricanes. We're just scared of losing our power.
That's it. That is so true. Yeah. Well, as you're hunkered down together, do you reminisce about hurricanes past? Or
yeah,
I'm wondering, what was it like back in the day when you were younger? And maybe your grandparents have stories to tell. I know because your family's lived there for a long time.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Like growing up, I don't ever remember any big deal being made out of hurricanes. You know, of course, for me, you know, growing up a kid, you're not worried about anything. And so you only see the benefit. And it was just, I always would just pray when the hurricanes would be on the forecast, please let it hit during the week so we get out of school. Because the worst were the hurricanes that would come in on Friday and they'd be out by Sunday and you wouldn't get to get out of school at all. And it was...
That was the first thing that our fourth grader granddaughter said. She said, when's it coming? Is it coming on Friday? Yeah. We said, it may be coming on Thursday. And she said, oh, yay, no school.
Exactly. That is...
to be a kid and that's your only worry,
I know, exactly. But like, honestly, all growing up here, I think I only remember one time, and I can't remember now which hurricane it was, but it was a big, massive one. I remember it had turned into a Cat 5, was coming... you know, right up, you know, the east coast of Florida. And at that point, they were talking about it, you know, making a direct hit into the Daytona area. And I remember that was the only time that we had ever evacuated. And so we went to families up in Georgia. And the storm ended up, though, making a turn and didn't hit into Florida and stuff. But that was the only time. The rest of the time, I just kind of remember always just, you know, hunkering down at home, you know. And that's pretty much, you know, what we've done now. Now, I will be honest, as I get older, maybe older, wiser, maybe more scared about power and stuff, I am totally the kind now who I see a hurricane coming, and if it was up to me, I'm like, impromptu vacation, let's get out of here and go where the power is not going to go off, you know?
Yeah. Well, people say, oh my goodness, you're in the path of a hurricane. And we would always say, well, you know, that's better than tornadoes. Yep. Because with tornadoes, you don't have any warning, really.
Exactly.
I mean, they just happen and you don't really know. At least with a hurricane, you kind of have an idea of where it's going. You have enough time to, if you're not going to sit around and wait it out,
yeah,
you can plan and you can go on a vacation to Georgia. Exactly. And get out of the way.
Exactly.
And I know this time around, I mean, Cat 5
yeah.
is unimaginable, even a 4.
Yeah.
I mean, I think coming to the Gulf Coast this time, it was maybe 2 miles an hour less than a Cat 5. I mean, it was, but you don't know. It kept changing. And I feel awful for those people along the coast that got hit and just were thinking, well, I think it's going to hit Tampa. And should we go? I mean, that's like the biggest decision.
Yes.
Do we stay? Do we go?
Yep.
Are we ready? Oh, you know, there's always been this time where it's coming. And then you get out of the way and you drive somewhere else, and then all of a sudden, it fizzled out. But, you know, what chance do you take?
No, I mean, it really is, and it's so hard. And I think one lesson learned, I think, from this hurricane, and, you know, and a lot of people are wanting now in the aftermath to find somebody to blame. Whether was it the weathermen that they didn't do a good enough job? Was it the, you know, state officials that they didn't warn people ahead of time? Me, myself, I look at it from a different perspective, and I think to myself, this hurricane to me was a prime example, a reminder to us all that weather forecasting, it's a forecast, because they really and truly don't know what these storms are going to do. I mean, let's think about it on a day-to-day basis. They say it's not going to rain. That generally means it's going to rain, you know, and that's what I found with this hurricane was, you know, they kept forecasting it to do one thing, and then this thing was just defiant all the way around. Like, they kept thinking, oh, it's going to go to the Panhandle. Oh, no, it's going to go to, like, the Big Bend of Florida. Now Tampa. Nope. It's like, no, actually, I'm going further south than that. And when they kept talking about, like, oh, it's not going to be, you know, a 2 or 3, and then, no, it's, no, matter of fact, I'm going to become a 5. It's crazy.
Yeah, we really just can't predict what the weather is going to do anymore. We had been planning on going down to Titusville to do some kayaking and check out the bioluminescence.
Oh, yes.
And it was the weekend right after, a day or two after the hurricane rolled through. And we thought, well, do we go? And
yeah.
I mean, it's just down the road. We thought, okay, we had reserved an Airbnb. You know, we really couldn't cancel at that time. We thought, well, we'll just go down and check it out. And the conditions were fantastic. I mean,
I bet
everything was out. It was magical. We were kayaking with the dolphins and the manatees. And
no way.
And the bioluminescence was just magical. I mean, every time you put your paddle in the water, it just like disappeared into sparkles. It really was wonderful. But friends of ours, just a little south of there in the Daytona area, they were underwater. So, and they were planning on going with us. And I felt really bad that we were having fun and other people were having to deal with that. But that's just life here in Florida,
yeah,
right?
It is. Totally. Totally. No, but I tell you, the bioluminescence beta that I have heard that is incredible. And it's something that not until, it's funny that you bring that up, because it wasn't until recent that I heard of a guy going there. And I was like, I've never known that we had that. I've heard of it like down in the Caribbean, you know, on vacation, but I never knew that that was a thing in Florida. And so that's really awesome.
Okay. I just have to interject here. Have you ever been bioluminescent kayaking? You have? Okay, so you know how amazing it is, right? But if you haven't, oh my goodness, I have to tell you about it because it's like, wow. The first time I ever experienced bioluminescence, I didn't even know what it was. I was swimming in the Gulf of Mexico a few yards off the beach one early morning when the sky was still pretty dark. I know you're thinking, that's prime feeding time for sharks, Paige. What were you thinking? Okay, I wasn't thinking. You know me. If the beach is calling me to do something, I'm going to do it. Anyway, I just remember treading water and looking down at my hands, and it was like they disappeared. Suddenly, they weren't there. It was like they dissolved into luminous sparkles of light. I really thought it was magic. Now, I won't go into all the sciencey stuff, but apparently there are certain types of organisms that live in the ocean, and when the water gets disturbed, they light up like tiny sparkles, and it makes the water look, well, luminescent. And I didn't really know it was a thing until I heard that at Cocoa Beach, you could go on a bioluminescence kayaking tour. So we booked a date in August as close to the new moon as possible, because apparently the darker the sky, the brighter the glow, and went out on our first bio kayaking adventure. And I remember as the sun was setting and the sky was starting to get dark, we put on our life jackets with the little safety lights and paddled out into the smooth water of the intercoastal, following our guide like a group of little ducklings. I watched my paddle dip in and out of the calm water, waiting for something to happen. And I was beginning to think we weren't going to see anything when all of a sudden, whoosh, a school of fish swam right under my kayak like shooting stars, leaving a trail of light behind them. And each time my paddle went into the water, it dissolved into sparkles, just like my hands did that time I went swimming in the Gulf. It's bioluminescence, yes, but I prefer to call it magic. Okay, if you want to hear more about this or other ocean adventures, send me a message and I'll include it in another episode. But for now, let's get back to the conversation. Yeah, we tell everybody about that. I don't know if it's kind of Florida's best held secret or whatever.
Exactly.
We've been on a couple of tours and then we figured out where to go on our own and where to launch. So the past few times we've just brought down our paddle boards and our kayaks to see what we can see. And it really is magical. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you're safe, and let's pray that in the storm's way, if they ever come again, which we may have more coming, we're still in hurricane season, that we all are safe again. And I'm going to switch gears on a happy note and something different. Tell me about your new podcast.
Yeah, awesome, awesome. Well, yeah, you know, so I've had my podcast for basically like 2 years. So I started it back in May of 2020. And, you know, as I think like all things in life, as we do stuff for a while, we evolve. And I've watched this evolution of my podcast, and it's come up to this point where the name of it, which I'd been going by, was The Lowdown with Kevin Lowe. And I loved that name, and everybody who heard it loved it. But at the end of the day, I was like, but it doesn't really match really to me what the podcast is, what it has become. And so that's when I decided to do a full rebrand. So it's literally the same podcast, but I just completely rebranded it with a whole new name, new look, new feel, and changed it to what it is today, which is Grit, Grace, and Inspiration.
Yeah, that is perfect, because that is you. That is what And we learn that in the podcast world, that because there are so many, we do want to make the title and all of that just kind of reflect what we're doing. And
yes,
even the lowdown was a great title. I agree. Yes. This one really captures the essence of what you're all about and the stories that you tell and all that. So I honor that. I often thought I'm really stuck with the title of mine, The Beach Speaks.
And yeah,
so far people get it.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
And I think there's enough wiggle room that if I changed the content a little bit, the beach would still be speaking.
Absolutely.
Might be in a different way. So I'm going to hang on to that. And my logo, I'm really attached to my logo too. Yeah. So I don't anticipate anything changing right now for me.
Of course.
Except my content is kind of changing and evolving. And my last episode, episode 50, I titled, I Quit. And the episodes that saved the podcast. I had been at PodFest and somebody said, you know, when you get around episode 50, that's when you really start thinking, oh, do I really want to keep doing this? Or, you know, the pod fade is yes. Real.
Yes.
And yeah, I was coming up on that 50th episode and I thought, ugh. Is it worth it? I mean, I'm having a good time, but it just takes so much time to do all the other stuff. And is anybody listening? Am I really being of service to anybody? Because, you know, like, you're the same as me. You want to be of service to your listeners. You want to uplift them, give them information. You know, you're not just doing this so, you know, you can hear yourself talk.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I mean, that's exciting. And you know, I believe that we do it, and like you said, for the listeners, they have no idea the amount of work that goes into each and every episode. And I believe it comes back to a thing that you have to be passionate about it. You have to be passionate about the process of it and just putting it out there to the world and being okay that if it is only a handful of people who listen and realize that, you know what? Maybe my show's not reaching the thousands that I want it to all over the world. But hey, what if it's just 10 people across the United States who are hearing this and it's making an impact on their life? Maybe it's worth it, you know? And and I can tell you for myself, it's easy to get kind of overwhelmed and frustrated with the podcasting because of the fact that you're putting this out there and you're talking, you're doing all this stuff, but you don't have a live audience. You don't have that immediate feedback. You know, again, for myself, it just came back to, do you love it? Yeah, I do. And the more I do it, the more I love it. And that's why for me with my podcast, I literally, this morning that we're recording, I just mapped out episodes that they're a combination of interviews that are already recorded. And then solo episodes I do. So I do two episodes a week, do an interview episode on Tuesday, a solo episode on Friday. And I mapped out all the way up into January will be like my 150th episode. So,
oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yeah. And so, you know, and it's one of those things, though, that I agree with what you said earlier, is sometimes, though, we get so focused on putting out content, creating, doing all the tasks, but I do believe it is important sometimes to reflect and look back on your past episodes and be like, wow, I've come a long way. Sometimes it's you almost cringe to listen to those first episodes and you're like, oh my gosh, this is so terrible. But it shows the evolution where you've grown as a podcaster in a show. And you have this whole library of content that kind of shows that. And it's really pretty cool.
Yeah, it just kind of shows the evolution of yourself and how you've grown. And I'm sure you can relate to that. And you're creating that connection that's often shared with others. Or if you just uplift that one person, then they can turn around and uplift the next person. And then it just has like this ripple effect. So even in that, I'm fine with it. I think I'm gonna keep going.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you are too. give me a little teaser on who we can expect to be coming up on your podcast.
Yeah. So October is a big month. And so the end of October, October 28th, to be exact, is my anniversary day, the anniversary of when my life was saved with the removal of the brain tumor that I had, but also the anniversary of when I became blind. And so this October, October 28th, 2022, will be my 19th anniversary. And so coming up that week on the show, I have an interview with a lady named Angela Irwin. And Angela is completely deaf. But thanks to the cochlear implant, and as she has an amazing TED Talk where she talks about how the power of batteries, that batteries literally power her world and let her hear. And so I did an interview with Angela that will come out that week that's really powerful and something that I'm really looking forward to sharing with people. And then of course, on that Friday, on the actual anniversary, will be my solo episode where I'll talk a little bit about you know, what that means and just, you know, the gifts that I've really been, you know, that I've gained along this way, you know, because even though what happened to me was a tragedy, it's gifted me and blessed me with so much in my life that I'm so grateful for.
Yeah, well, that's what you're all about. And
yes,
you are the master at taking that tragedy and turning it into positivity. When we're talking about things like hurricanes and the events that kind of bring us down, take our electricity away, you have a way of bringing back that positive outlook and gratitude. And I guess you bring back the electricity.
Yeah. Yes, yes. So.
Yeah, lighting the way for all of us. Well, Kevin, thanks so much for hopping on and chatting with me today. I really appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to hearing more of your podcast.
Well, thank you. It's always a pleasure to talk with you and to be on your show. And so thank you for having me back.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Beach Speaks. If you liked what you heard, share the podcast with another beach lover. And speaking of sharing, I want to know how the beach is speaking to you. Share your favorite beach story or why you love the beach so much. Maybe you have a beachy tip or two that you think other beach lovers might like to know. To record a message, just go to my website, thebeachspeaks.com. Click the voicemail button, it's super easy, and I'll play it on the show. And if more beach is what you crave, visit thebeachspeaks.com or follow The Beach Speaks on Facebook and Instagram, where I post all my gorgeous sunrise photos and videos. It's another way for you to reconnect with the beach, return to your soul, and reimagine your life. The beach is speaking. Are you listening?